Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 75 of the Better on Draft 75. Podcast.
75?
Yes, sir.
We're still on the air.
That is one hell of a number.
Well, we keep paying, so of course we're still on the air.
I was trying to get us kicked out.
I think we all tried that once or twice here.
I think we once or twice, that's it?
That's it, yeah. Not too many.
I don't know about that.
Not too many.
He does some pretty crazy shit in the studio after the
It was just double secret probation, that's all.
During and... Yeah, pretty much the entire time we're here, we do some interesting stuff. I'll say interesting, to say the least.
Interesting.
Rob, what's going on?
Getting back to regular life.
Did you finally get your power back on?
Oh, my God. Losing the power a week ago Wednesday, and then it finally came on Monday night.
Oh, at least you weren't one of the last ones.
Yeah, yeah. And we still had people that were out in the neighborhood, but just... You know, having myself, Dina, the four pets, and just sitting in a house that was roughly 40 degrees. And it was okay going to bed and, you know, hopping under down comforters and duvets and shit like that. But during the day, if you did not have slippers on, you just forget about it.
Oh,
it was just freezing in that house. But everything
So you stay there the entire time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We stayed there the whole time. We did not even.
Tara, my girlfriend, she's with us in the studio. Say hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm sorry, I'm taking Ken's job there for a moment.
Don't look at me.
So we lost power, what was it, Friday? Thursday
at midnight.
We lost it at Thursday at midnight. That was like the first night I had to go into work because of what whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got home on Friday, or no, later that Thursday.
We lost Wednesday at midnight.
Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. It doesn't matter at this
Something
point.
Like that.
But I got back, and it was like down to like 53, and Tara and I just looked at each other like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So we actually ended up staying at our parents' house.
Yeah, no. We toughed through it. I mean, basically, we lost the power. It went out at about 7:20 Wednesday night. It came on this past Monday at about 9:30 that night.
That's crazy.
So we're just like we're not going anywhere because, you know, it's pretty much a sink or swim. We're gonna live or die with these animals. See what happens. So we were able to get through it. So unfortunately, we had to throw everything in the fridge out. as well,
I was
as
gonna
the
say, do you lose a lot of food?
Yeah, we pretty much lost. I'd probably say a good 80% of everything that we had in the fridge, freezer, and in our basement freezer.
Ooh.
So, and now the basement freezer, I believe the capacitor blew. So now, the motor will not kick on. And I mean, we got it for free when we bought the house. So now it's time to get a new one anyway.
Yeah.
Nick, what's going on?
It's going, man. There's no overtime. I don't have to worry about overtime now.
No overtime.
I put on 61 hours of overtime during the storm.
61 hours of overtime.
Of overtime. That doesn't include the 80 hours that I'm regularly scheduled to work during the week.
Jeez.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. A time and a half.
What are you going to buy us?
Me. Well, no, you're not going to buy me.
I like how this is like her second time on the show. She is already interjecting in and everything. That's awesome. That's great.
So other than Tara, what are we going to buy?
I don't know. I'll let you know.
With the other 79 hours of overtime.
79?
Oh, man.
Damn, dude.
What are you drinking over there?
Starting with a Atwater Black and Cran.
Black and Cran. That's definitely a hit or miss for a lot of people. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I like it. Tara had a sip of it earlier. What'd you think?
It's interesting.
That's it?
It's a little pungent.
Pungent.
Stings the nostrils.
Yeah. but it's good to be back and actually be on a normal sleep schedule for a change.
Well, that's good.
Sorry, Ron.
Hey, it was what it was. We got home, and you know, when it was dark, I don't think we've read that much before being in that house. And we were just sitting in bed at 9 o'clock, just sitting under the covers,
reading books.
Yeah, actual books. Except Dina would actually take her Kindle to work and charge it, and or like go somewhere and have it charged. That when she got home, you know, it was obviously having something to read. I was just basically just sitting around reading cookbooks all damn night.
Tara, what's going on?
Nothing.
She doesn't have anything to say now.
No, she doesn't.
What are you drinking over there?
Miller Lite.
It's a delicious beer.
It is.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we have that on the, like, we had to guess between the light beers, like Bud Light, Miller Lite, Coors Light?
I think the Brulette.
Yeah, the Brulette.
I could do it.
The Brulette. Oh. Might have to set one up at home. Rob, what are you drinking, by the way?
I didn't ask you. I am double fisting right now. I have the Founders Imperial Stout. And I have a growler of the porter. I can't remember the exact name, but it was the porter from Glasshouse Brewing out in Ann Arbor. Right now, I'm pretty much enjoying the Imperial Stout. I'm kind of shaky on the porter right now. I liked it. I liked it enough at the brewery to get the growler. Maybe it's just a simple fact that I've had it sitting in the basement for the last week and a half that I didn't open it. But I'm kind of wishy-washy on it right now.
Yeah. Did it skunk in the basement, or was your basement pretty cold?
Oh, well, I have a cold storage room in the basement, so pretty much right now that room does not get anywhere over 40 degrees.
All right.
Yeah, so pretty much all the beer stays nice and chilled down there. And really, as far as the whole house is concerned, I could put the beer anywhere in the house during a power outage. It was still going to be cold.
Yeah.
So it didn't really matter.
Well, he's not under the covers.
Right.
Might warm up there. But it's easy to drink, though, right next to you.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, it was real easy to drink. You touch anything in the house, it was just like, damn, this thing's cold. You just put on a pair of pants after it just got out the dryer, and you have that warmth, you're like, oh, damn, these are really, this feels like real good feeling pants. The complete opposite.
Nice.
These are some real good feeling pants. I think I'm gonna have to save that one and try to make a drop out of it one day.
Real good.
What are you drinking, pants?
Absolutely nothing right now.
What are you doing?
Nobody's poured me anything.
You're the one who said you wanted a beer, and then nobody poured
me anything. Exactly. It's all your guys' fault. Well, not mine.
What do you want?
Yeah,
everything.
Besides that,
hold on. I got a beer. Somebody give me a beer.
All right, I got a
Miller Lite.
I got a Bell's Porter, a Roke Blow Your Face Out.
Okay, so it's not going to be the Roke Blow Your Face Out.
And, no, it's not going to be that.
Yeah, still water on Fleek.
I'll do the Bell's Porter.
Okay.
Bell's Porter.
For now.
Easy enough. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that.
I got you.
I got stuff in the fridge, though. I gotta wait.
So we had a competition that lasted the last week.
Oh, my gosh.
Round one.
The response that we saw during the last week has been crazy.
A lot of people were having fun. They were doing their votings.
Yes.
So we had 8 matchups. I don't have everyone's bracket from last week in regards to guessing, but I know
so well.
A lot of our brackets are, in fact, busted.
Yeah, yes.
Usually what happens to me on Fridays anyway.
I get
through Thursday so damn well, and then Friday hits. It's like, oh.
Damn it.
Starting off in the top left portion of the bracket, we had Rochester Mills over Black Lotus, 177 to 121.
177, one. Wow. All right.
Yeah, a little. It's one of the lower votes, too. So
that's kind of crazy considering the fact that probably out of the 16, Rochester Mills is probably one of the more established of the 16.
Oh, of course.
And then maybe I would probably put Black Lotus in there as well.
Well, I would say ABC, and they lost their match to Ellison 201 to 126.
Now that one.
So East Lansing is going to win at least one thing today.
Tara's wearing a Michigan State hoodie for all you people in listening.
Damn.
I don't have my Miami garb on today.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. You're
big U fan.
Trivia fact: Ken did get accepted to University of Miami.
Yeah. Also trivia fact: Jim Larinaga's 4-0 against Michigan State with 3 different teams.
Oh. Uh oh.
George Mason.
Not looking too good there, Tara.
Hitters gonna hate.
So one of the bigger votes we had: Draft Horse 252 defeating Drafting Table 168.
I don't know how I'm not sure how I felt about that one. I don't know. I've never been there. I can't say.
Let's
never.
Go,
Let's go. There we go.
Now we're just, going. All right.
Absolutely. Just.
And then we had one of the last minute entries: Redline defeating Ascension 175-125.
The wild card.
I mean, can we agree that that is an upset?
It's like a George Mason.
So is Redline?
I forget who did George. Oh, they beat Michigan State, didn't they? Damn, I'm good at this game.
I was kind of thinking Florida Gulf Coast.
Oh, well, I was going to bring up Jim Larranaga again because that was George Mason. So the battle for Dearborn, we had Downey Brewing over Dearborn 188-132.
That's good. Mm. Wow. The Battle of Dearborn.
Yes. We also had Canton Brewworks over River Rouge. That was 140-119, probably one of the closer ones.
The closer one, fewer votes.
Fewer votes, yep.
I thought River Rouge was going to pull that one off.
I guess not.
Shows what I know.
And then finally, the last portion of the bracket, we had Boffin getting just mollywhopping Sellermans 241-144.
Wow.
Jeez.
So, and I mean, I love Sellermans. I thought Sellermans was definitely going to win, but
no, what are you going to say, Terry?
You didn't talk about Brooks.
I'm not done yet.
Oh,
I
said the last portion
of the bracket. Yeah, I didn't say the last match, the last portion.
Oh, like side?
Yeah.
I don't know bracket.
And finally, Sherwood defeating Brooks in what was probably the biggest voting contest out there. 334-303.
Wow.
Jeez,
that's
like playing fantasy football and scoring 100 points and losing
to the person who scored 102.
Yeah, damn, 300 votes and you lose.
Yeah,
damn, sorry, Carrie.
That's the way it goes. That's, nonetheless, we appreciate everyone participating in round one. So round two's matchups is going to be Rochester Mills versus Ellison, Draft Horse versus Redline, Downey versus Canton Brewworks, and Sherwood versus Boffin, which we'll talk about later in the show.
God, that's going to be crazy. Round two.
Yeah, round two is going to be just the same. We're going to start up voting tomorrow, Saturday, March 18th at 6 p.m. You will have 6 days to vote, and on episode 76, we'll announce the final four.
Can we make something really, really clear? I think everyone in this room really appreciates everyone, you know, going on the Facebook page, taking the time, voting. Just something to keep, just to remind you guys, comments and the emoji in the comments section does not count.
Correct.
You have to use the emoji that's where it says like. You click like, and then you pick the emoji that you want. So let's get that back out there.
It ain't that hard.
Well, Ken said that. I didn't, so.
It's all right. 4,000 people figured it out.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, but, you know.
4,000?
Yeah, we had over 4,000 votes.
4,000 total votes.
All those votes together, yeah.
Yeah, over 4,000 votes.
I know. We're kind of a big deal now.
I thought we were a struggling Japan. Podcast.
Like Japan. We're big in Japan.
We're bigger in Ireland.
We're also, to all the new people that clicked like on the Better On Draft page, thank you again for your huge
all
support.
All 700 plus of you.
Yep. We're almost 2 likes away from 1,500 after just 1 week of doing this.
I think we'll get there before the end of the show.
Yeah,
tonight.
I think so. And we're over 1,500 followers, so which means to the 3 people that follow us
don't like us.
Don't like us, but they follow us.
It's kind of like I would expect you to like and then not follow.
Yeah.
Not follow and not. I don't get that.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. I don't know. I can't really explain that one.
Right.
So we do have a guest that's going to be in studio later today. He is stuck in traffic thanks to this great snowstorm.
Awesome weather.
But Brewery Vivant will be on. They're just going to be coming right in when they come in. So nonetheless, we're going to be killing time up until then. So going to kind of throw it over to Rob for a little bit.
Yes, sir.
To talk a little bit about news. What's going on in the beer community, the beer world. There's a couple closings that are one closed, one being auctioned off potentially.
Well,
the closed ones being auctioned off, the other ones for sale. But
yeah, I think because we kind of hit on that before with what I believe to be Glasshouse, which is for sale. There was a posting that I ran into where basically it was a picture of a brewery saying that it was for sale. You follow that link to kind of a corporate business real estate company that had a picture of the brew tanks I would say that it gave an address that was basically like in the middle of downtown, essentially.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a fake address.
Yeah. And it basically said, you know, well-established brewery that is up for sale. And, you know, when you take a look at the picture and you go to Glasshouse, it's the exact same picture of the brew tanks. So that would pretty much lead me to believe that Glasshouse is up for sale.
Wow.
So anybody who is definitely interested and have the money, hey, go on over there and get it. But it kind of looked like from the post that, or at least from the listing, that the intent in selling it was to use it for expansion of another brewery, not necessarily to put a different brewery there, which to me actually makes a hell of a lot more sense, because if you've ever been there, the parking is not exactly ideal for a place that's an actual brewery. It's basically, you have this storefront that is the building in front, which I kind of looked inside of there before. It looked kind of like supply slash
warehouse, you know, almost.
Kinda, not necessarily a warehouse, but I mean, it's so small that it kind of looked like there were just brew tanks that were in there, and it may be, you know, some off brewing supplies, and then behind that is the actual storefront, so to speak, and they have this little patio area with you know, the fancy fire stone thing, and I forget what the hell it's a stone fire pit, and you know the storefront is back there, but in front of that is probably, I really wouldn't say there's any more than like 9 parking spaces.
Wow,
it's very small, and yeah, it's like basically if you're following GPS directions, chances are you will pass it before it tells you reach your destination.
Like no signage out front?
There's no. There's not really any signage out front.
It's kind of like like Atwater. When I went to Atwater for the very first time, the one in Detroit, obviously.
Yeah.
There's really no obvious signage unless you really, really look for it. So
right.
I don't know. But yeah, then again, I made the smart decision to we got a guest here now.
Hello.
I made the smart decision in going to Atwater during a snowstorm in the middle of the night. So,
what? I was saying that sign's not very easy to see.
No, it's not. No. And you know, again, goes back to the whole warehouse looking thing. So
right. Well, there is that one. So like I said, that one looks like that one is I guess we'll see how where everything goes. And and it kind of sucks for me because when they had opened up, you know, Kuma, who we had on the show, you know, once before they were actually opening, I became a founding member, which, you know, pretty much gave me the ability to go up there and get a growler every month until they close. And now here we are a year later, and it looks like they're going to close. So I'm pretty disappointed about it. I'm actually still disappointed that Kuma's no longer there.
Right.
So there is that. The other brewery that kind of ran into on Facebook out on the Third Coast is Dutch Girl Brewery, which I've only heard stories of. I've never been there. But they basically put a post up back on the 14th. Just essentially saying they are permanently closed as of today, thanking people for, you know, their business and, you know, cheers and encouragement that they've gotten for the last 2 years, and they're basically up for sale. If anybody has any interest in the facility, right now apparently their asking price is $350,000, which is negotiable, and you know, basically what they're trying to do, that they essentially are not going to run anymore, but they want to keep their staff running there, running the place. So,
well, I think they want a brewer to purchase it,
right,
and then, like, just take over like the staff in regards to probably all the serving staff, the cooking staff, whatever else is there.
How many instances, even in, you know, in the food industry or even breweries, how often does that normally happen?
Well, someone goes in and buys it. You're speaking of a tiny town, though, too.
Yeah.
So this isn't like where if you live in the city of Detroit where you can get you quit your serving job, you can walk down 2 blocks and find 5 different places that are hiring for a server. Yeah. So in regards to this, you're probably going to run into a situation where they really want to keep the staff intact because those staff rely on that job.
Sure.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's in Spring Lake. I mean, I don't know where Spring Lake is. Two, I wouldn't imagine anything else is there. It's almost like Centerville.
There's probably a lake there.
Other than the lake,
Spring Lake.
And it's like when we had the local on, and it's like, okay, what's in Centerville? And it's like, okay,
they are.
They are. And they're doing pretty damn good business. But it's like, okay, it's a town of maybe 6,000 with a couple stoplights and the probably one of the better beer selections in the area. But
so we do have a guest that just joined us.
Yes, we do.
He's going to start talking. Ryan.
Hello, how are you?
Hey.
Perfect mic check. Perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
Glad you got here safe. I appreciate you making the drive all the way out here.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Happy to come. Just so you guys know, Spring Lake's right next to Grand Haven.
Oh, okay. All
right. Which so that would be right by, Otside, right?
Otside's in Grand Haven, yeah.
Otside.
There's your geography lesson for the day.
Hey. Yes. We don't need you anymore, Matt. Oh, so much for fat questions.
I shouldn't speak in terms of what city it's by. I got to speak what brewery it's by. Silly me, of course.
Yeah, that's pretty much a best way to go, as everybody's like.
Good enough.
What city? Oh, the brewery. I know where you're talking about now.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to go to Alpena. Where? Austin Brothers.
Oh.
So what brewery are you from?
I am from Brewery Vivant. I am the Wandering Monk, a.k.a. sales rep for Brewery Vivant.
Is that your official title?
That is my official title, yes.
I love their title.
So do you put that on your resume if you're job hunting?
Yeah. Hopefully I will not be job hunting anytime soon, but if I were to, I would put Wandering Monk on there, yeah.
So where do you do your sales at?
I cover from Grand Rapids to Detroit.
Okay.
Oh. And we have another rep who covers pretty much the rest of the state.
So the northern part of the state.
Yeah, and he covers the west, everything west of Grand Rapids as well. And we actually split Grand Rapids since that's our home territory. We kind of double up on it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're out here most of the time.
About half the time,
About half the time. Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you do? Like, I know we've met twice. We met at the Cascale Festival.
Ashley's Cascale Festival. And then
we met at 8 Degrees Detroit.
Oh, yes.
For the Tasty.
Let's do a nice tap take over there. We're doing that was a fun one. We had an experimental beer we were kind of bringing out into the market, just a couple select accounts and getting some public feedback on.
Yes, because I remember Vivant actually, it might have been you, but Vivant responded to me on Twitter, I believe. It was like, which ones do you like the best? I'm like, I don't know. All of them? None of them?
Twitter would not have been me, no. I keep too busy to keep up with Twitter. I just don't have the time for that. So
how long you been with Brewery Vivant?
Just 1 year now, actually.
One year. I was going to say that Cask Ale Festival must have been one of your very first events then.
It was freezing out, so yeah. I remember as cold as it was today, so I would say so.
Give you the first year in, I would give you the coldest event to go to.
That is a great event, though, the Cask Ale Festival.
I was there.
I just missed it, too.
I was.
Yeah.
Well, I had just started because I didn't have any of my Vivant branded cold weather gear yet. So I'm like, what's my biggest Vivant shirt and how many layers can I fit under it?
How many shirts can I have?
Yes.
How many Vivant shirts can I have? So you do sales for the company.
Yes.
Are you on premise and off premise or?
Yep. On premise, off premise, everything but chains, basically. I'm not going to go and call in Myers, you know.
No.
Yeah. It's too much. Yeah.
too hard.
I call them all your independent beer stores, and you're better.
Speaking of independent beer stores, you know what great one in Rochester Hills?
What's that?
Zatuna Liquor.
Oh,
go check them out, Rochester
sure
Road
South.
Oh, of course they do.
Of course.
They better.
Yeah, go say hi to Jack Gus if he's there. Grab some Brewery Vivant beers. Grab plenty of beers, cigars, liquor, everything that you need for your party favors. Head on up there. We appreciate them sponsoring us. So I saw you brought a baggie in.
There is beer in that baggie.
There is beer in that baggie.
So Ken might be out of beer already.
I'm almost out of beer.
Yes. Well, I brought a lot of choices in case I wasn't sure what you guys wanted to try.
Well, we love choices.
The answer is yes.
We love choices.
What you want to try, the answer is yes.
I was hoping that would be the answer.
That's like the best answer we could possibly get.
Oh, goodness.
Ooh, yeah. It just keeps coming. Yeah. Sorry. I go off microphone. I'm pulling off more beer here.
Keep going off microphone. Just keep going until.
Quite a few choices.
Oh, I see one of my favorites right in your hand right now.
I see a wizard burial ground.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
We have that in the fridge.
We do. Yeah, we do.
I probably stole it from me.
No, I bought it. What are you talking about?
Sure you did.
Kiss my ass.
I'm actually most excited to try this guy. This was a Recondite. It was a pub exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. What does it say? 114 of 228 bottles.
Oh,
hand numbered.
Damn.
Yeah.
Shit.
Wow. We must be very lucky.
I know.
You must know somebody.
So, is this your first foray into the craft beer world, or did you work for somebody else before Vivant?
No, I worked for Right Brain and for Shorts.
Oh, wow.
And then I did a year of time, as I call it, working for Anheuser-Busch high-end.
Oh.
So you asked about...
What is high-end?
Goose Island, Stella Artois.
Oh, I thought you made like Bud Light Lime.
You know, that all that really good stuff.
Bud Light Lime's not in the high-end?
No, Bud Light Lime did not count, but Shock Top did. So I would be like, oh, what do you sell? Oh, you know, Goose Island, Shock Top. Like, just kind of under my breath. But when you asked, you put that on your those weird titles on your resume.
Yeah.
I was resident beer geek at Right Brain, and that made it to my resume.
That's cool.
So.
Nice.
Right.
What were you for Anheuser-Busch high end?
Just sales rep.
Boring. So corporate. Wow.
They did have a corporate link to like make your own business cards, so I put Zythologist down for my title.
What the hell?
Because people will be like, what's that? Oh, that's somebody who studies beer.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I learned something new today.
It wasn't accurate, but I never got in trouble for it. So.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power.
Isn't that the name of like the homebrew magazine?
Yeah, it's something along those lines.
Yeah.
Zythology or the Zythologist or something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
So in regards to you personally, what kind of beers do you like to drink?
Well, go figure, I like Belgian beers.
Belgian beers, yeah.
And sours, so that's part of the reason I wanted to work for Brewery Vivant.
So is that Brewery Vivant's pretty much catalog is all Belgian and sours?
Belgian-inspired beers, American takes on Belgian beers, all Belgian yeast and sours, That's what we do.
Nice.
So we'll make an IPA, but we'll do it with Belgian yeast. We'll make a stout, but you know we'll do it with Belgian yeast.
Okay.
Yep.
How does the IPA? Do you have an IPA with Belgian yeast here by chance? Because I'd be very interested.
I've got a couple actually.
My interest.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you got your choice.
This is coming from a guy who doesn't like IPAs.
I don't. But
cannot stand them.
I hate them.
We've got Triumph, which is a Centennial IPA. Centennial, same hop as.
Yep.
Two-hearted Centennial IPA from Founders.
Oh, I got it. I see one that
completely
I really like
different
right
with
there.
The Belgian yeast.
Big Red Cock.
Not an IPA. It's not quite bitter enough on the finish to be an IPA, but ton of Citra hops up front, so a lot of flavor and aroma.
We got that when we went there.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
And then the Lost Mines is actually a tart IPA that we just made.
Tart IPA?
Yeah, it's a kettle-soured IPA.
Okay. Huh. All right.
Wasn't that the beer that you guys were field testing over at 8 Degrees was some type of tart?
It was a variation of like a more sessionable tart IPA that we've been playing around with.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. All right.
Let's crack open that Centennial because I'm very, very interested. What's it called?
This is Triumph.
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 Okay. So as we get the snap in there.
Wow. Now out of the three that you just named off, which one's your personal favorite in this IPA type category?
I probably drink the Big Red the most, just because it's not as bitter on the finish as an IPA. It's still got that hop note.
Now, isn't that kind of like one of the flagship ones?
Yeah,
that
The Triumph, Big Red, so Farmhand, and Undertaker.
I've actually had Triumph before.
Yeah.
As I'm going into my my Untapped, I already
checking
got a
your
glass.
Notes.
Yeah, checking my notes. So my palate's definitely changed in the last year and a half as we've gotten to really discuss and talk about beer with so many people. But I had this over at the Creole in Lansing.
Oh, yeah.
This was right before they opened, actually. They were doing a soft opening, and I was there. And definitely, I'm quite interested because I see what I rated, and I want to see if I keep that rating.
Was it on a firkin at Creole?
No, it was not.
Oh, okay.
Their firkin, they do have a firkin there. A hand pull, but I don't know which one. Obviously, it's rotating
because
it's never the same beer. Definitely a lot better than I remember because I rated it originally a 2.5 on Untapped.
Remember, he's not an IPA fan. That's probably good.
But it definitely has that taste of, at least through me, the Centennial, which is one of my favorite IPAs. from Founders, yes, the Centennial IPA. So yeah, I'll definitely edit my rating to a zero.
Of course.
What a jerk.
So nobody can.
Centennial's the, I call it the prototypical Michigan IPA hop. It's the two best-selling Michigan IPAs have it, and so does this one. Go figure, you know.
Is Centennial a bigger seller than All Day?
Oh no, it's not actually. Now that I think about it.
Okay, I was just curious. I'm like, is that true?
Too Hearted is the best selling. But then All Day probably is right behind it.
Yeah.
Actually, All Day is of something like 50% of Founders sales now, I hear. So.
Damn, really?
Yeah.
Oof. That's not surprising at all, just because people are going more and more sessionable now. Like, I think we had that huge hump of big beers, the bigger.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, I want to drink more, not drink two beers and be hammer-wasted and... like sitting the rest of the day sipping on water because I can't drink the rest of the night.
You don't want to have like those two dragon milks and.
Well, no, it's more like what I did at JLA this week when I drank 3 20 ounces of Le Fin de Mon and
Holy crap!
It was $11 a piece. That's not a bad deal for being now, at a.
It was that.
That's at Joe Louis.
That's at Joe Louis.
Yeah, 20 ounce draft of Le Fin de Mon.
That's not.
For the amount of liquor you're getting, or alcohol, I should say.
For a sporting event?
For a sporting event, that's the best bang for your buck. And it's a good beer, so yeah.
Yeah,
so okay. I
retract my...
I was getting a little toasted, definitely, watching wrestling. What do you guys think of the Triumph, though?
Not bad.
Yeah,
not bad.
Pretty tasty.
So is...
It's not as... what's the word?
Doesn't punch you in the face as hard as like a Two Hearted.
It's not like blow your face or Two Hearted, It's definitely not blow your face off, you know,
so that,
oh,
punch in. Yeah, the Belgian yeast adds some fruity notes, a little bit of a spice to it.
And it's definitely not on the ranks of the Two Hearted as opposed to the, with hoppiness.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you wanted an IPA, but you wanted it to be a hell of a lot smoother than what you're normal IPA.
I think
IPA.
A little bit sweeter, too.
And Well,
it allows you to drink it without, like, at least for me, it's not, again, like the punch you in the face, bitterness, the hops. Like, I can drink this and not have, like, that IPA backwash. And
all I can think about is when you had a sip of that, your face.
Which one?
The not get, blow your face off.
Oh, that was terrible.
Oh, that was great. Priceless. Priceless. Terrible.
I'm not a big hoppy guy.
Is that the name of an actual beer?
Yeah, it's actually this beer right here. We could probably crack it open if you've never had it, because it's pretty much like this beer turned around Roke's, like, I want to say the internet beer community, which did not like Roke, and then this beer came out.
Oh,
the CBYs, definitely, for sure. So
he takes a sip.
We're all weighted with bated breath.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's the name fits the
With the hoppiness, it without a doubt it does.
But Ken's facial expression was still the best.
Dude, I don't think anything will ever beat my facial expression when I had Devil Dancer for the first time, and thankfully nobody was around to see that.
I don't think this beer's unbalanced. It's got a nice hop note. It's
I just don't like IPAs. It's a me thing. It's not everybody else loved it.
Everyone on the at the table loved it.
Yeah, no,
Ken, you know, he likes his browns.
I love my brown.
Love your brown.
That he does.
Yes, he does.
Goodness.
So you like Belgian inspired beers? Like what? Other than Vivant, what are some of your more favorite beers or breweries that you like to go to?
Unibrew. So Unibrew. You know, yeah.
Well, that's
Le Fin du Mont 20. I've never done it as a 20 ounce, but
20 ounce. And I was drinking it like it was Miller Lite.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. I push that beer back like it's Miller Lite, and it hits you.
Oh yeah, it sneaks up on you. That's for sure.
I'm always going to be a big fan of Right Brain and Short since I worked at those two places. Of course, you know. Very near and dear to my heart as well. Yeah, I love all beers though. So Michigan beer in particular, you just can't go wrong with.
Is there any beer that you consider that you like as a guilty pleasure? Like, do you have like one that
like a Stroh's,
that's like a Stroh's or a PBR? Mine, for example, is PBR.
It's because you're like a hipster wannabe.
I did.
Like you try really hard.
I did go to college with a lot of those kinds of people. And that are all like 6 years younger than me.
Same. I was always a honey brown.
Yeah.
Oh, honey brown.
Honey brown.
God, I haven't had one of those in so long.
You're thinking a lot.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things that just don't come to mind very like naturally to think about it, you know.
Yeah, I've got all my guilty pleasures in music I can think of off the top of my head, but beer, that's much more serious.
Spice Girls.
Of course, a Spice Girls.
Spice up your life.
Hey. I'd have to say...
La, 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 la. Okay, I'll stay.
So, I worked for Anheuser-Busch, sold Goose Island, Sophie. I still love that beer, even though I really am not a fan of Anheuser-Busch products anymore. So I... In all fairness, it is a great beer, and it shouldn't be a guilty pleasure beer, but knowing how I feel about Anheuser-Busch, I begrudgingly love that beer.
How long did you work at Anheuser-Busch for?
365 days.
Exactly 300?
Exactly 365 days.
It wasn't a leap year that year?
It was not a leap year that year, no. It was exactly 1 year.
Happy anniversary, I quit.
So you said right brain and shorts. Where'd you go after Anheuser-Busch?
To Brewery Vivant.
So you were in the craft beer industry in the beginning.
Yes.
And then you ended up getting into the big leagues.
Well, the big.
Quote unquote.
Yeah. Right.
And then you're back into it.
I sold out. You know, then I bought back in, I guess. I don't know.
that's a good analogy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you do that whole blood in, blood out.
That
whole
advice about don't selling out, take it, people.
Right.
Well, I mean, if you only lasted a year at Anheuser-Busch, obviously there was something that just piqued your interest a little bit more.
I'm not a corporate guy. And
fair enough.
If you are a corporate guy and you want to make good money, more power to you. Mm-hmm. To me, I moved from Anheuser-Busch, big, giant corporation,
sure,
to a small family-run company, open book company, treats their employees well.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a problem, I go talk to the owner about it.
Nice.
And he actually listens and takes my feedback into consideration.
So it's like an open door kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, are you from the Grand Rapids area?
I am originally from the Grand Rapids area, yeah.
Originally from Grand Rapids. Yeah. Nice. So,
how did you get all the way up to Bel Air and Traverse City?
Those were the job offers in the brew industry, and I wanted to work in beer. So,
was working in beer always like the plan, or was there something before that? And then...
Did you want to be an astronaut?
A firefighter?
I wanted to be a priest at one point in time.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. And I'm a wandering monk, so it's come full circle.
Yeah, it's perfect. Look at that.
Really? That's.
Yeah, I'm completely agnostic now, and it was a big joke when I was at Right Brain, but now it's just a joke because I'm a wandering monk, so it all works out in the end. You know?
I just thought maybe, you know.
That degree in theology really paid off.
Where did you go to school?
Aquinas in Grand Rapids.
Okay. Yeah. All right, gotcha. Yeah. All right.
So going to school, I'd go to Brew Vivant after, I guess they opened just after I left, but you know, still in the area, go to Vivant,
sure,
grab a pint. It was perfect, and now I work there. I'm pretty happy about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's very,
now,
very
there was
cool.
One thing I hadn't really checked to make sure, but I mean, Brewery Vivant is it Chess, Michigan? Or are you guys distribute out of state?
We distribute to parts of Chicago.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And any thoughts of maybe going into other states, going to Ohio, Indiana, maybe branching out? And is there a plan to do that?
There is a plan not to do that specifically.
Ooh.
So we have one brewing space. We're not going to open a production facility.
Sure.
We recently added new tanks in there. We actually, normally when you expand, you just buy new tanks and brew in the old tanks and the new tanks. We actually had to get rid of the old tanks to put the new tanks in. We have so little square footage in that facility. So we did essentially double our capacity. We added a wild fermentation room, which adds probably another, 800 barrels a year on top of that. But we just don't have the capability to expand out of state without expanding. And that's not really our philosophy as a company. We're not about being bigger and bigger.
Sure.
As our owner puts it, we like to be smarter and deeper. We're going to stay focused on the community.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Focus on one thing and do it well rather than trying to be everything everywhere.
I think now when Tara and I went there, it was about 2 years ago. We went there. It was, hockey season was still going. I think it was around April.
There was a tournament that weekend.
There was a junior hockey tournament going on, but the NHL was still going on. Place was packed. Brewery Vivant was packed. And I'm like, wow, this is insane. And, you go to a brewery on this side, it's busy, but not to the extent of Brewery Vivant. I think there's communal seating at the
We intentionally put some communal seating in. It's not all communal seating.
Yeah. Yep.
A when we started, it was mostly communal seating. I love that. It's based off the European beer halls.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it was great. I was there drinking just out of college, and I'd get sat down at a communal table, have a couple beers, hear someone next to me talking about something, be like, oh, did you say this? And strike up a conversation and make a new friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We've expanded a bit. You know, when we opened up, there was a long waiting time. We basically did double our seating capacity. So now there's really no longer much of a wait, which is nice. But
Very nice.
Yeah, it gets busy.
I
don't think we waited to get in.
No, we got it. There's there was that little patio area on the outside.
Yep, there's there's a second bar area. Yep. So if you do have to wait, you can have a beer still, which is nice.
I don't mind standing and drinking. I'll say
So I worked briefly like in a brewery pub setting, and I'm amazed at Vivant. As busy as it gets, I've never actually had always had good service, I should say, even when we're packed, which is pretty fantastic.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We're right up against the break. We'll be right back with a Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, episode 75 of the Better on Draft podcast.
Do some music trivia there.
Oh, goodness.
We're reliving the 90s. They happened. Well, I guess early 2000s.
Or 2000.
2000.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening to the show on podcast... we just played Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus, and we were trying to figure out what movie it came from. And I believe we came to the decision that it was Loser with Jason Biggs and Mina Suvari. So, nonetheless.
How's that to make you feel old, people?
Yeah.
Hey,
Sorry,
Rob.
The song is almost... almost ready to be able to smoke in the United States. It's 17 years old.
Pretty much.
Shit.
Wow. So, Rob, you were in your 30s back in 2000, right?
No.
Dan's not here, so, you know, you get it.
You have to take the brunt of the jokes on the
Late 2000s, yeah.
So what beer did we just pour, Ryan?
Asshole.
Oh, I don't remember. We poured some Contemplation. That's our spring seasonal from Vivant. It's Belgian golden ale made with local wildflower honey, local hops.
Good. That is pretty good. I like that.
The honey ferments very out, sweet. So it's not overly sweet. Gives a little bit of sweetness to it, but it's not, you know, it's not saccharine sweet.
No, this is good.
Yeah, that is smooth. Really, I like really it.
Good. It's easy drinking. It's smooth. It's complex. It's full flavored.
Yes, I agree with the full flavored. This is a session beer. You can make any beer a session beer if you really
try hard enough. Yeah.
I'd bowl with this beer.
I'd do a lot with this beer. Including drinking it.
Damn. This is 7% ABV.
That is not a good idea.
You think you should drink at a 7% ABV?
That does not taste 7% at all.
It's like you said,
beer from you.
With enough courage and conviction, any beer is a session beer.
You're right. This does not taste like a 7% beer.
So, Ryan, how'd you get the nickname R2?
R2?
Oh, yeah.
I did research on you.
Nice. Well...
I Facebook stalked you.
The first sales rep is also named Ryan, and he started first.
Oh.
That makes sense.
So they're like, oh, man, what are we going to... Well, we'll give him Ryan E. at Brewvivant as the email address, and we'll call him Ryan E. We'll be very professional. We'll be very nice.
Sure.
And I'll be like, oh, no, just call me R2. It's like R2-D2. This is like a dream. They're all trying to be professional. I'm like, no, just call me R2. That's great. That's it's Ryan and one and Ryan two, and I'm Ryan. Yeah. He started first, so in all fairness, I get that.
I kind of have like a similar situation at my workplace. There's two Nicks. I'm Nick 1, and he's Nick 2, even though he's got more time in the company than I do. I got to that office first.
So, oh. Yeah.
I'd like to think I'm Ryan 1 in all of your hearts.
I'd say you're not the first Ryan in even like being interviewed here, so
that's all right.
You're Ryan 2.
Does that other Ryan do sales, or what is he?
Yeah, both sales reps are named Ryan.
The boss calls in Ryan.
I was gonna say,
which one?
That's got to be confusing for your clients.
Oh,
I was talking to Ryan.
Which one?
Yeah.
We had a sales meeting today where we were talking about Ryan Smith from Saugatuck. Like, apparently, to be a sales rep, you have a better chance if you're named Ryan, I guess.
Oh, it's
I guess so.
So, when did you get your Cicerone?
Ooh, 2012. Got my Cicerone.
How long is that process, like, to get that? Like,
you have to work, at least then, I'm not sure if it's different now, but you had to work in the brewing industry for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the test came up, I'd only been in the industry for, like, 11 months, so I had to have my... boss email that the organization's saying, oh, yeah, sure. He knows his stuff. I don't even think
you have to pass the test anyways. Yeah, it's not like right. it's
So, I mean, you can take the test, whatever. Yeah. I took several months studying for it.
Sure.
You know, I come from a brewing background, so I didn't really study at all for, like, the brewing ingredients, brewing process. Mm-hmm. That I knew, but stuff like the history of this very specific German beer style and its mm-hmm. minimum and maximum ABV and stuff like that, I had no idea. Oh, wow. You know, so that's the kind of stuff I had to study for.
So I've never seen it. I know of it. I know what it entails, but I didn't know that this exam that you have to take goes that specific in regards to beer. Like that, what you just described, I did not know it was that specific, as opposed to knowing, oh, if you look at something, we could tell what style it is, or, you know, or what its main, you know, characteristics are, or something like that.
Yeah, it's broken up into different questions. I think there's only one or two questions that had you list, like, the exact ABV of a beer style. But that's, you know, just an example of part of the test.
Sure. Others,
there might be an essay on, oh, that we're giving you a salad with goat cheese and a lemon vinaigrette dressing. What would you pair with? You know, I just, off the top of my head, that's what would you pair with that?
Yeah, or, right. What would you pair it with?
PBR.
I hope not.
Well, Kentucky Beast Stout.
I was trying to remember what the exact question from my test was, and it was a salad with goat cheese. I don't remember what the dressing was. Sure. I did say Saison DuPont, and I passed, so they must have liked that answer.
It's like, wow.
Have you thought of going for your advanced, or is that...
I am studying for the advanced right now. It's nice. I missed out on getting in the fall section, so the next time I'll be able to take it is probably about a year out. So I've got some time to study.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Very nice.
And then, of course, you got the master after that.
Yeah, it's a few years away. Yeah.
What's that, Tara?
There's that many?
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. So but there's only something like, I don't know, 15 master cicerones in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you're talking very, very, very few people. I think each of the big name brewers has one. I think Anheuser-Busch has one. Miller has one. Coors has one. And then probably just a random group of people who took it, but I heard the test is like multi-day and it's supposed to be a really intense style of test to where the objective's almost like you're supposed to fail.
Wow.
Because they want the best of the best to be labeled the master cicerone.
Huh. You have to work to get into the test. People study for years up to it, and still the majority of people still fail it.
Jeez. Yeah. Sound like you have to take the test while doing the Tough Mudder.
You also have to pay $1,000 for the test too.
Are you serious?
Which is almost like being Tough Mudder. Yeah, you gotta pay to run the obstacle
Please
course.
Tell me you at least get one retake.
Each retake is $800.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, you better pass.
Yeah, I was gonna say they don't have statistics in regards to how many people fail, yeah. But I know a lot of people are supposed to. The objective is to basically make a clear, defining line between the advanced and the master.
Right.
Because I think there was a lot of people getting the advanced Cicerone certification, and they needed to make like an extra step higher.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Just to, I don't know, make money.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's why they added the advanced versus the certified. There was so many certified and so few masters that they added that advanced.
Oh, is that how it went?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
To give another level of delineation and also probably to make some more money. But.
I mean, I don't blame them. Obviously, they
it makes sense.
Yeah, they are the only name of the game in regards to, you know, so many people and so many places are requiring a CBS now simply because the craft beer industry and the beer industry is taking over mm-hmm. bars, restaurants, everywhere to where you need to have that type of knowledge because people are almost expecting it, especially if you're going to carry a multi-tap system that's not your B-Dubs tap system.
Right.
You know, your B-Dubs tap system is going to have all the yellow beers, a couple of the locals, and then the Sam Adams. Whereas you go to Embrew and it's all Michigan. You know, I expect someone at Embrew to know exactly what they're talking about when it comes to beer.
Or what about Brown Iron Brew House?
Brown Iron Brew House. Oh, yeah.
You beat me to it.
Great.
I had to throw it in. I had to try at least plug it right there.
Great beer bar. South of 27 Mile on Van Dyke Road. Go check it out. If Angela's there, go say hi to Angela.
Our social media person.
Yes. Take a photo.
She'll send you
a tweet. Add it on Instagram.
Yes.
or tweet her. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. That I went to a brewery, and I'm not gonna call the brewery out because that's just rude. And I asked the name of the beer had the word brown in it, and I said, "Is this a brown ale?"
Oh, we talked about this.
We talked about this, yes, and they said yes, and it was not a brown ale. It was a stout, and I was severely disappointed. Because you're expecting one taste, mm-hmm. and it's something complete. I thought it was almost like an English or not an English, an American style brown. I was expecting a little more hops because it's a little darker. No, right. it was just not good.
No,
at all. So I think that's definitely one thing that I am very upset. But I'll give them another chance because I am going back up there in a couple weeks to that random city in Michigan. Because it's one of those random cities where I'm like, I wonder if there's a brewery around here. Oh, there's one 2 blocks away? All right, I'll go walk over there.
Give them a shot. Goodness.
So do you know of any, you do so much traveling. You go to these beer bars. You go to breweries probably all across the state. Do you have like a hidden gem, a favorite that's not in the Grand Rapids area that you like to go to when you're doing your travels?
My favorite hangout... I don't know if it's a hidden gem anymore. Up until recently, it used to be a hidden gem. Cultivate in Ypsilanti.
I was just out there today. I love Cultivate. That is one of my favorite places. I wish I had the capital to start something like that, like closer to Detroit, mm-hmm. because just in terms of the beer selection that they have, and really just with them being a nonprofit and what they do.
Yeah.
And just like you walk in there and it's just you got all these beers, like 30 beers on tap.
They got some bottles and cans.
They got some bottles and cans. They have this nifty little board that tells you exactly how many meals they've given out, you know, to combat hunger. And by everybody buying, you know, hanging out, buying beers, you know.
It's a cool place to hang out, too.
It's a cool place to hang out. Absolutely love that place.
I'd say it definitely used to be hidden gem. Recently, I was on Facebook. I saw a list of the best bars in every state according to Yelp, and Cultivate one that I'm sewing that goes going around. I'm like, oh, that's great! Yay for Cultivate. Oh wait, now it's not going to be my little hidden gem hangout anymore. But no, seriously, I want them to do well. It is a nonprofit, so yeah. I would be a terrible, terrible person if I didn't want them to do well.
Yeah, they do have at least one Vivant Tap out there right now. Contemplations right up there.
And for God's sakes, Ryan, if you're listening, I don't know how you get all those damn beers in there, but yeah, keep that up because that selection I was just in there a couple weeks ago and he had Alesmith Speedway Stout, the Vietnamese porter, mm-hmm. the Vietnamese version. Now, it's like, you can't get that here. you got to drive your ass to Ohio and, you know, luckily get it on a good day. In order to get that, I mean, it's
yeah. Who wants to go to Ohio, especially with I-75 being closed right now?
Exactly. Don't even go. So one of my projects for work is in River Rouge. So getting over to the other side of the Rouge River is a pain in the ass. So please, let's not talk about.
You basically
that.
Just need to have the bridge up to like 45 degrees and just take it.
Blues Brothers, it.
Yeah.
Go so, flying.
So, I was thinking more Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh my gosh. So. Oh my gosh. So actually, a funny story. On my way to that job site, when the wind was kicking up on Wednesday, with the windstorm, knocked the power out in that area. The bridge drawbridge got stuck in the up position.
Oh no!
And I'm like, oh. This sucks. So I had to cut through the rest of Del Rey in order to get to where I need to get.
Were you tempted to just, if I get up enough speed and the angle's right,
just in the back of your mind?
Well, there was no, there
a part of your mind at least going that was going through your head.
Very briefly.
Okay.
very.
I would be
briefly.
Disappointed.
Let's crack open one more beer while we're continuing this conversation.
The wizard.
Oh gosh.
I didn't want to say it, but yes.
The Wizard Burial Ground is
yeah, we'll do the specialty bottle definitely in the final portion. Yeah, definitely pour that around.
I like how he holds it up to the microphone.
I love that sound. So.
Is that the one you said was going to knock me on my ass?
Yeah, it may knock you out.
Because it's a Belgian quad.
It's a quad aged for a year in fresh bourbon barrels. Yeah, 12.3%. It does not taste like 12.3%.
No, it does not. Not in any way. And there's not many quads that I've had. There's like been pretty much been this, and there's been one from Weyerbacher. I'm usually
fourth dementia. Fourth Dimension is probably one of my favorite.
Fourth Dimension is an old ale.
Isn't it a quad, though? I thought it was a quad still.
That is good.
You're wrong.
I'm drinking that when we get home.
Watch it. That's the one beer left in the fridge.
I always thought 4D was the quad, and then
maybe I'm wrong.
What's Dragon Mead? Dragon Mead's got a quad that I can't think of the name.
Juggernaut? Honeybee?
No, it's not Honeybee. Honeybee's the triple with honey.
Yeah.
It starts with a C, I think. But yeah, there are actually a lot of quads around this area just because there's a lot of Belgian-inspired beers. Like, I think Griffin Claw has a quad.
Yeah, the Miso Ornery.
Miso Ornery, yes.
Bestone does. Yes. I don't remember what it's called, but they do have a quad.
That stuff's just dangerous.
Yes.
Yes.
Then you put it down in some fresh bourbon barrels, let it sit in the mines, the gypsum mines, Underground Rapids for a year, and it smooths out. Sweetness, the caramel still there, but that vanilla and the bourbon.
So it's not just Founders that uses those gypsum mines?
Nope. We have a much smaller section of them than Founders does.
Because obviously...
Founders use them for?
I don't know. They some stuff called Kentucky Breakfast Stout or something.
We mixed that with Milwaukee's Best last week.
Yeah, Kentucky Beast Stout.
The Kentucky Beast Stout.
But,
delicious.
It's always... publishing the papers, you know, when KBS week hits,
yes,
is that it's like every year they always talk about the fact that it's kept in these gypsum mines with pictures and everything, and it pretty much comes off that it's always Founders, and they're the only ones who seem to have access to this.
There's food, well, at least up till recently there was food down there. I know Founders is buying up more and more of the space.
Okay.
Hopefully we don't get kicked out because we like it, but no, it's because it's naturally cool down there year round. It's actually relatively cheap refrigerated storage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple breweries that use it, and there's food storage down there in addition to lots and lots of Founders beer.
And I mean, is that essentially just the only reason to use those mines? Is that it's generally cool down there? There's nothing. Somebody who just has no idea. You know, when your people are putting these barrels down there, it's just wondering, okay, what purpose is to put it down in the mines?
Well, the main purpose is it's a cool, consistent temperature, but I mean, it's in a mine. That's cool. This beer came out of a mine. Right. I mean,
about how far, because that was the other thing I didn't really look at the articles, like how far down is it?
I don't know.
This is a nice little elevator ride.
Yeah,
I'd be curious because I wonder if the old salt mines under Detroit, like if you could be able to pull that off with a lot of the areas around here, because I know those are all abandoned.
Access them?
I think
you can access.
You still access them, yeah.
Public can't access.
Public can't.
I assume the people who own the sites can access it.
Apparently, there's tours.
Really?
Are there really?
Yeah, Detroit Salt Company.
That actually sounds like
a business opportunity.
I don't know.
Yeah, hey.
Welcome to the city beneath the city.
There you go.
I want to drink beer in a city beneath the city.
I was going to say, yeah, you got to team up with Steven over at Motor City Brew Tours.
Yeah.
And try to get some type of tour under the city where you can drink under the city.
I'm in.
I was going to say, yeah.
Everybody wearing headlamps.
That kind of stuff like that kind of system, the whole underground mining being abandoned now, like that whole kind of system like blows my mind. But it's interesting is that everything there, nothing's rusted because it hasn't reached like daylight and the air up north. So like the second you bring up one of those mine carts or something like that, it's just going to turn into instant rust because of all the salt and everything like that that's been on those carts.
See, my issue is just I'm not sure if I could deal with the claustrophobia. And yeah, I saw The Descent. I don't want to. I know nothing's gonna happen down there.
But that's always like when somebody says they're afraid of elevators, and then you bring up the movie Devil.
Ooh,
it's a great movie if you've never seen
Devil?
It.
I never heard
Devil.
Of it.
Yeah, oof. It's a movie about an elevator.
Yeah,
to say the least.
Yeah,
it's all filmed pretty much in an elevator.
Please tell me the elevator comes to life.
The elevator does not come to life.
Yeah, it's not like Maximum Overdrive.
It's not like Christine, but with an elevator.
That would be awesome.
God, I'm making Blues Brothers Christine. And Christine references. Yeah. I'm dating myself over here.
Well, I think we all caught it.
Yeah. you want to talk about dating yourself? I saw Christine in the drive-in.
You win.
Thank you.
I'll say, you can still go see a drive-in right now.
Was it the old Ford Wyoming?
Yes, it was. Same one I saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. I remember the Mount Clements one.
Yeah, that's the one I went to.
Yeah, and I think that was like, I would say the closest one.
I saw Aladdin
You see this gray I have in my beard?
I saw Casper there.
The Dearborn one, that's the only one that I know. That's the Ford one, isn't it?
Ford Wyoming.
The Silverdome had one, too.
That's still, the Silverdome had one after the Silverdome closed.
The screens are still there off of M59. You can still see them.
Yeah, the Ford Wyoming one's still there because I drove by it not too long ago.
Oh, yeah, that one's still open.
You can go see it. Groupon deals, too.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the one outside of the ice rink in Plymouth?
No.
This isn't Dearborn. No. Outside the ice rink in Plymouth.
Oh, she's talking about CJ's, or the USA hockey rink is. Because during the summer, they open the parking lot up and set up screens to have drive-ins in the summer.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of, that sounds almost like what they do at Campus Martius during the summer.
They play movies
at Campus Martius, and you can go sit on the beach.
You go to CJ's beforehand, get a beer, and then,
and you just hop back in the car and just go. So they set up
there
the
we go using movie. Breweries as landmarks again in regards to where places are.
You never would have known unless we talked about CJ's. So,
right, yeah. Exactly. And shout out to U.S. women's hockey team. Yeah, resist.
Is the boycott still going on?
As far as I know, the boycott is still going on. So it looks like they're probably not going to play in the world championship.
I read the article. I didn't see if there was an update or not.
I guess I'd be pretty pissed off if I only made 6 grand a year, too.
Yeah, so, it's pretty
I only make 6 grand a year. let's go over one or two articles real quick before we take a break.
All right. One quick thing I want to throw in. Absolute shout outs to 8 Degrees Play-Doh in Detroit. The results came back from USA Today about the 10 best beer bars in America. And 8 Degrees Play-Doh managed to get third.
Oh, the Madison Club didn't make it? That would have been good if Dan
Madison
was here.
Club did not make it. Madison Club did not make it.
Well deserved for it.
Devlin, shout out to Bavarian Lodge in Illinois and El Bait Shop in Des Moines getting first and second.
What else is there to do in Iowa?
I have no idea.
Can you buy bait still?
Probably, along with a beer. I mean, hey.
Where can I get some damn bait?
Yeah.
and a damn beer.
Of course, right after that, Hopcat landed in fourth, the Grand Rapids Hopcat. So definite shout to them. But,
you know what's interesting? And, you have these great beer bars, but that's, 8 Degrees has its own little shtick because it's a beer store and beer bar. But what about someone like Kalamazoo Beer Exchange where it's an entire event when you go there?
They were listed recently in I think it was a Playboy article, like the best theme.
You read it
bars.
For the articles,
I clearly read it for the articles, yes. Actually, I saw it on Facebook. But it was like the best weird bars or the best themed bars with a strange theme or something like that.
Because that's, when I think of a bar, like just about every bar now has a great beer selection, and there gets to a point where there's just too much. Like, there's no difference between 100 taps and 130 taps. You're not going to find an extra beer that you wouldn't have found somewhere else because they had those extra 30 tabs. But when you get into, 8 Degrees has the growlers to go. Mm-hmm. You can buy to-go beer as well as you can just drink and show up and drink. And get slows right down the road, when so they that have helps the, them too.
The special events that they have, they release their stock of KBS on Wednesday. And, that ran as smooth as anything I've ever seen. You had easily 80, 90 people who were in
that store.
That
was a line system, too. That wasn't a ticket system.
Yeah, no, it was a line system. You walked in, you wrote your name on a sheet of paper, and then, it was pretty much supposed to be at 6 o'clock. They were going to, Tim, the owner, he was going to start naming people off, but it was so full, and it was pretty much his stock. He said, all right, I'm just going to start early. And, he just started rattling off names. People came up. And when I walked in there, I was number 70. By the time he started actually naming names, I was up there paying for KBS in probably 20 minutes. And I've never seen 2-3 people work registers that damn fast. So it was very, very well done and everything well thought out. So it's definitely props to them and their staff. without a doubt. A couple other things. Amazon Prime has made it official that they are now officially delivering beer in the Cincinnati and Columbus areas to Prime members. So basically, the site announced this week Prime members can purchase alcohol and have it delivered to them. If they are a Prime member, they have free two-hour delivery, or $7.99 you can have it delivered for in an hour. pretty much they have, you know, all the popular brand names, Bud Light, Bud, you know, all of the, you know, the macro stuff. But of course they also have the small local favorites like Rheingeist, which I love Rheingeist, yeah, Mad Tree, nice. Yeah. And Great Lakes Brewing. Hopefully this is something that will come out here at some point, but right now it looks like it's only Cincinnati and Columbus. You could just go up to primenow.com, try and throw in your zip code. It more than likely won't work unless you're...
No, it's against the law in Michigan.
Yeah, it's pretty much, yeah, it's just going to be like an Ohio thing right now.
Yeah, the only way around it in the state of Michigan, I know we talked about this before, is you have to sell hot food along with alcohol to deliver alcohol.
Yeah.
So whether it is pizza, French fries, anything that you make there.
Soft pretzels.
Soft pretzels, yes.
Soft pretzels.
Yes.
I want a soft pretzel now.
And buy one French fry and some deliver some beer with it.
Well, there's
let me just get one rib.
In downtown Detroit, there is a pizzeria attached to a liquor store, and they deliver liquor from the liquor store along with the pizzeria. But you have to buy something from the pizzeria.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds great to me. Yeah.
It works for me. I live downtown.
That is awesome. One other thing, and I guess I just wanted opinion on this because this happened to me today. So there was a bunch of posts. Obviously, everybody is still going off on trying to find KBS right now. And Costco started getting the KBS bombers, selling them right on the shelf, limit to $15.99 a piece. You know, you could only buy two. So just on a whim, I said, to hell with it. I'm going to go to the Costco in Livonia. We'll see if they have it. And it turns out they did. So I pick up two. I get in line. There's this woman that's behind me. She's picking up two herself. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I buy mine. I go to the car. And then I'm like, you know what? I need to go to the restroom. I'm not going to make it back to work. So the hell with this. I'm going back in. So I go back in. I go to the restroom. And I said, you know what? Another thing, everybody on the DACB page is looking for this. They're not sure how much is left. I'm going to go back there. I'm going to take a picture of what's left. I'm going to post it on the board. Mm-hmm. So as I'm walking back, the same woman comes walking right past me with a cart, this time not only with two more bottles, but with a case of water. And I'm like, I know that was the same damn woman. It sure said it was. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay. So she came in, she just bought two. That's all she bought. Walked out, walked back in, bought a case of water and two more bottles. Now, granted, okay, she's bought her two. Sure. She's left the store.
Yep.
So she comes back in. Technically, yes, she is a new customer. But is that just a dick move?
That's only a limit or two if the place enforces it.
I mean, for me, it's like, okay, yeah, it makes sense. She's left. She's now given other people the opportunity to purchase the beer.
Rob. Right. Rob. Rob.
Yeah.
Rob. Yeah. Yeah. If you could do that the money,
would you do it?
And you wanted to do it, would you do it?
I had the chance. I went back in the store and I had 2.5 cases sitting in front of me.
And did you do it?
No.
Why not?
Because I wanted to give other people a chance to get KBS.
That's a lie.
I could have easily just dropped another $32, got two more bombers, and just said, peace. Here's a couple Nixons. I'm the fuck out of here. But no.
Those Hamiltons.
Dropping those Hamiltons.
Oh,
and I just left. But, I mean, it just felt like, it was like, okay, I know you can do this, but should you really do this? Because, I mean... That's some
right.
Just some.
The other thing is, four bombers of KBS. I might, if I see one out there, I'll buy it and I'll have, you know, three, four friends over and we'll split it. But I'm going to have three, four friends over drinking the same KBS every time. I'm certainly not going to drink four bombers of KBS by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then again, other people drink 60 ounces of La Fin du Monde by themselves. So, so maybe I shouldn't speak for everybody. But
and, you know, maybe it was a muling thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could have been.
How old was this older woman, do you think? Because I want to know. I pictured like a 65-year-old woman.
I'm putting her high 50s.
And you think she's muling for.
Hey, I've seen older people slaying crack, so.
Oh, my gosh. We are taking a break. You are in timeout. We'll be right back with a Better on Draft podcast. And we are back. Episode 75 of the Better on Draft podcast. Man, I tell some terrible jokes, to say the least. Man.
Cold-blooded.
If only the listeners could listen to the shit that you say out here.
Cold-blooded.
Well, I didn't say anything bad. I am amazing. I am wonderful. We have some more beers here. Yes. Somebody brought in a Heady Topper. Angela from Brown Iron walked in and brought